Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to New Life, since I get a chance to do it at the start. Thank you to Matt for being here tonight, allowing me to use my musical skills and still preach. So it's good to do this. We are looking at Psalm 103 tonight. They were the opening responsory that we use in a little bit. I'll have you open up your Bibles in the pew there. You can do that now if you want to, but right now, the first thing I want to do is ask, does anybody know what a portmanteau is? Okay, It is in crossword puzzles, that's true. That's one of the, because nobody knows what it is, that's why it's, do you remember what the clue is? Okay, so the number one definition is the big, you know, the steamer trunk that you open up, and then it has all the drawers and things that you can open up and hang your stuff in. That's not what we're talking about tonight. So if you were thinking along those lines, or as soon as I started saying it, you're like, oh yeah, that's right. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. There is there's a definition to meaning of portmanteau. And you actually know what the concept is. In fact, you're very familiar with it, but you probably don't know what it's called. And in fact, I only know what it's called because I went, there's got to be a word for this. And I looked it up, and there it was. A portmanteau is where you combine words and meanings. So a common one is breathalyzer. You know what I'm talking about there? So it puts together the word breath and analysis or analyzer, and you put those together and you get breathalyzer. So all of that pretty much makes sense. Let me give you a few more examples and see if we can put these together. Brunch. Okay. Some of these are not quite as challenging. Others you'll find, you're like, oh, I knew that word, but I didn't know what it was. How about blog? Weblog, excellent, nice. One of my favorites, chillax. Chill and relax, yeah, hey, just chillax. Chortle. Chuckle and snort. I don't know who said it. Somebody said, but sorry, I probably shouldn't demonstrate these. One of my favorites, glamping. Glamour camping. I've got a few more. We'll come back just to give you a chance to take a break. All this thinking is pretty hard. The term portmanteau was actually used for the first time by Lewis Carroll in his classic Through the Looking Glass. As Alice is trying to figure out the nonsensical poem Jabberwocky, she is looking to find out from Humpty Dumpty what the word slithy means, or slithy is probably how she pronounced it. And Humpty Dumpty replies, well, slithy means lithe and slimy. Lithe is the same as active. You see, it's like a portmanteau. There are two meanings packed up into one word. And that's where we get it from. All right, I'll give you a few more. Frenemy. Friend and enemy. Glad nobody just slid over a little bit to get away from their frenemy. Let's see, infomercial. And commercial, okay, very good. Redonkulous. I didn't know what this one was. Redonkulous. I've used it. I didn't know what it came from. The first one is probably easy. Ridiculous. But what's the second one? Donkey. Like nothing is more ridiculous apparently than a donkey. So redonkulous, a donkey. All right. Spork. Spoon and fork. All right. And because it's Thanksgiving, turducken. Anybody who grew up with John Madden knows what we're talking about here. What is it? Turkey, duck, and chicken. Interestingly enough, we were at the pet store tonight, and there is food, there is turducken food available for dogs. In a different form then if you've seen the picture, it's a turkey with a bunch of, duck and chicken leg drumsticks all stuck in. Look it up. If you've never seen one, be sure to look it up. All right, I'm going to give you one more. Forgetlessness. I'm not getting too many guesses. The first word is forgetless, which in and of itself is a portmanteau. I'm not surprised you don't know it because I just made it up. I made it up last week as I was starting to look at this text for tonight. And as I was reading through these opening verses of Psalm 103, 1 and 2, it all just sort of started blending together, and what boiled up was the term forgetlessness. To give you an idea of what we're talking about, if you haven't done so already, open up your Bibles. And I know that probably some of you went for your phone to bring it up, and while I respect that, you're actually going to have a little bit more impactful if you have the hard copy in front of you opened up to Psalm 103. Keeping the portmanteau of forgetlessness in mind, let's read verses 1 and 2 together. Here we go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Forgetlessness. Doesn't it all sort of come? Is it just me? I saw some of you are with me on this. But finally, whether you agree it's a quality portmanteau or not, the point remains is that King David, as he writes the psalm, is encouraging us to never forget, to always remember the blessings of our Heavenly Father, forgetlessness. And in some ways, he could have stopped right there with those two verses. We could have given the psalmist, you know, the old double barrel wink and a will do, will do. But he goes on. He goes on because it's important for us to lay out what God has done. To encourage us, to help us find this feeling of gratitude that is within us. And if he's any indication at all, we know that he wants us to take the time to remember all that God has done for you, and he gives us guidance right here. Now, with Psalm 103, verse 1, let's read that first sentence, not the whole verse, but that first sentence together. Here we go. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All right, now turn to Psalm 104, verse 36. So the last verse of Psalm 104. And let's read that whole verse together. As soon as I hear the page stop rustling, we'll start again. Psalm 104, verse 36. No, verse 36? What's the last one? 35, sorry, got the wrong one. Verse 35, let's read it together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. So not only do those words indicate that Psalms 103 and 104 are supposed to go together because you've got the bless the Lord, O my soul on either end, but sometimes people say, well, God blesses me, how do I bless God? But the answer is right there. How do we bless the Lord? We praise the Lord. Yeah, it's all right there. Praise the Lord. Now let's go back to Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. And I know there are two verses there. Verses 1 and 2. Read them together again. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Essentially, all that is you, remember to continually praise all that is him for you. Some of you might recognize these books. Northwestern Publishing House put these out beginning in 2015. It's called 364 Days of Thanksgiving. Wait, 365? Aren't there 365? The point of this is that on Thanksgiving Day, we're really good at saying thank you for all that God has done for us, but it does question us on how thankful are we the other 364 days of the year. And what it does is, as you look inside, there are all kinds of lines here. You can put in your days, or it just gives you the day of the year. And every day, you can sit down with your family or on your own and just write down whatever thoughts come to mind of gratitude for all that God has done for you. And in case you need a little bit of help, periodically along the way, there are little devotional thoughts that point you to the Lord and help you to see again and again exactly what the psalmist is talking about right here, these beautiful reminders of God's benefits. It's essentially, this is what King David is doing in this Psalm 103. I mean, if you scan down those headings that are there, you get a pretty good idea of where David is going with all this. He points out God's benefits for you personally, for God's people as a whole, as he has done so historically through his limitless mercy. And as you get into Psalm 104, the wonders of his creation. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Forgetlessness. And as by faith, as we live in this forgetlessness, there is a beautiful illustration that I want to zero in on here. It'll take a little bit before I get to it, but we're looking at verse 5. Praise the Lord, O my soul, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, for nearly all of us tomorrow, there will probably be a moment. It might be as guests arrive. It might be as the food is laid out on the table. It might be after you've eaten your fill and you're just sort of sitting back in your chair waiting for that slice of pumpkin pie with or without ice cream. It might be after everything is put away and all the dishes are done and all the Tupperware containers are marked with people's names and that's all taken care of. Or it might be after the day is done and you're quietly closing your eyes. It will well up from your heart and overflow from your lips this sigh of complete contentment at the goodness of God. Satisfaction found in the benefits, in the goodness of God. The kind of satisfaction that if God called you home right at that moment, I don't know if it could get any better. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Now, God doesn't promise that feeling all the time. In fact, he doesn't even promise it daily. And in fact, he doesn't even promise the feeling at all. If you look closely, what does he say? He talks about the desires of your heart, but he doesn't say, I'm going to give you all the desires of your heart. Now, what does he say? In response to the desires of your heart, I'm going to give you good things. May not be exactly what you want. It may not be what you want at all. But when your heart desires, God is there to respond with good things. Paul explains it to the Ephesians. He says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is in work within us, he responds to our desires of the heart. And so desire all you want, knowing that what he gives in response is good. And then on the other side of receiving those good things, remember to give thanks with gratitude for the renewing change that takes place in us. Weighed down by guilt, he forgives all your sins. Stricken with sickness, he heals all your diseases, either now or in eternity. Sunk in the depths of despair or drowning in the darkness of depression, he redeems your life from the pit. targeted by hate, crushed by hurt. He crowns you with love and compassion. Every time we go through hardship or heartache, every time we stumble and fall, every time we forget and forgo the way of the Lord for our own ways, he is there to call us back and to satisfy the desires of our hearts with good things. And for all of this goodness, we can't help but respond with the psalmist, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget his benefits." In fact, so good is God that when Luther translated benefits in his German translation of the Bible, he used the term Gutes. Do not forget God's Gutes, his goodness to you. And it is this goodness that satisfies you, fills you with forgetlessness, so that your youth, and here's the illustration, is renewed like the eagles. Not about you, but I know that oftentimes I don't get past the whole image of a soaring eagle. You know, to really look at that illustration, I just picture this eagle soaring around. I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. And that's as far as I need to go. But if you go a little bit further and look a little more closely, you realize the illustration that is being used here. Understand that during the first 5 years of an eagle's life, and even to a degree throughout its life, the eagle goes through a tremendous amount of change. I mean, when it's first born, that eaglet is sort of white and downy and fluffy looking. And then at about 5 weeks, four weeks, that white down changes to kind of a gray woolly down. And then at 5 weeks, the brown and black feathers start to come out, and it becomes fully feathered at about 10 weeks of age. And then until age 5, and you've seen them, the juvenile eagles, they have sort of this mottled brown and gray and white feathers that kind of make them look old and bedraggled. You know what I mean? I just kind of like, really? That's a juvenile eagle? Wow, that's a rough life. But then at about 5 years of age, all of that starts to fall out and molt, and now the new feathers come in. And for bald eagles, you know what that looks like, that striking brown against the sharp white. Even their eyes go from pale to more and more deeply yellow. The yellowness of their beaks, it starts out kind of gray and black, but then it becomes yellow in the talons, and they are striking. And throughout the rest of its life, on an annual basis, that eagle completely goes through an exchange of its plumage. So that every year it comes across as looking new and young and vital, many of them, for the full nearly 30 years of their lives. Again and again, youth renewed like the eagle. So now when the psalmist comes along and says, here's what God does for you, I know that a lot of us hear that and say, oh, you mean I can maybe get rid of a few wrinkles? Maybe get a little stronger, grow a little hair where I want it and not where I don't. Maybe a sharper mind, springier step. That would all be great, wouldn't it? And certainly modern medicine can help with a lot of those things. But as David writes in the Psalms, time eventually catches up with us. As for man, his days are like grass, like a wild flower he blossoms. Then the wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place recognizes it no more. But here is satisfaction, here is renewal, here is goodness. For the Lord's mercy is from eternity to eternity over those who fear him. And his righteousness is with their children's children. Here, my friends, is eternal forgetlessness. And so praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And do not forget all his benefits. Amen.